All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dhenunam Niyute Pradat Viprebhya Samalankrite Tila Adrin Sapta Ratna Oga Shata Kumbha Ambara Avritan. Dhenunam Niyute Pradat Viprebhyah Samalankrite Tiladrin Saptaratnoga Shatakumbham Ambaravritam. Dhenunam Niyute Pradat Viprebhyah Samalankrite Tiladrin Saptaratnoga Shatakumbha Baravritan. Next. Nanda Maharaja gave 2 million cows completely decorated with cloth and jewels in charity to the Brahmanas. He also gave them 7 hills of grains covered with jewels and cloth decorated with golden embroidery. Text number 4. Kalina snana shochabhyam samskarai tapasei jaya shodhyanti danai santushtya dravayan atma atmatma vidyaya. Okay, we will read also word by word translation. Kalina, by due course of time, the land and other material things become purified. Translation. O King, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified, and by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified, by austerity the senses are purified, and by worship and charity offered to the Brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction the mind is purified, and by self-realization of Krishna consciousness the soul is purified. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These are Shastric injunctions concerning how one can purify everything according to Vedic civilization. Unless purified, anything we use will infect us with contamination. In India, 5,000 years ago, even in the villages, such as that of Nanda Maharaja, people knew how to purify things, and thus they enjoyed even material life without contamination. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay. Kalina snana shochabhyam samskarai tapasei jaya shudyanti dhanai santushtya dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. O King, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified. By being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the Brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization of Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Takshu Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Pala Vande jagat priya karo karuna avataram. Yantah pravishtam amavacham amam prasuptam sanjeevayati kila shakti darasvadam nanyam shahasta charana shravanatvagadim prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. Hare Krishna. So with your permission and with the permission of Pancharatna Prabhu, I will, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, I will try to speak something on this topic. This fourth verse which we read basically has two intended meanings, which are very important for us to understand. The question here and the context of these verses is that Nanda Maharaj had just received a beautiful child. And the child was so beautiful that Nanda Maharaj was completely mesmerized by the appearance of this child. And all of a sudden, instead of enjoying this bliss of watching and observing and seeing this beautiful child, he started all these frantic activities. In the first verse it is said that he collected, you know, a huge amount of grains, and he put off, you know, embroidered clothes over them, and cows, millions of cows. It must have been quite a festival. And everyone who ever organized any festival knows it's a big headache. So Nanda Maharaj, immediately after getting the child, he started, you know, all these managerial activities, which we know are very detrimental for spiritual development. Instead of meditating on this beautiful child, he started all these, you know, passionate activities. And the question arises, why? And the answer is given, it's a very clear answer, because of the love for the child. And the love is never passive. Sometimes people have this contamination, which is coming from jnana, from our understanding. The spiritual life is just meditation. You just sit quietly in a corner and you meditate, and this is the spiritual life. And this conception of spiritual life is completely opposite to the understanding of bhakti. Because bhakti means you run around with your eyes big like this. You're completely, you know, externally you are doing all these passionate activities, but it's only external understanding, because the motivation is love. Nanda Maharaj, he was not meditating on the child, but that was his real meditation on his newly born Krishna. Because due to this extreme attachment which immediately arose in his heart, he started doing this. Bhakti means that the meditation is there in the heart, and because the meditation is there in the heart, the connection is there in the heart. And the connection is so strong that you immediately want to do something, something practical. The meaning here is that love is never passive. Love, this, again, this new age understanding of love, you know, I love you. But what does it mean? You know, we had one story, you know, at one point a group of people came to, you know, to our temple, and they were all impersonalist, Mayavadis, new age kind of people, you know, and they were very happy, you know, going, and then they wrote us a letter, "We're sending you our love." Very nice. You know, what do we do with this love which you're sending to us? So the concept of bhakti is externally, by some unintelligent people, they cannot understand this. The concept of bhakti to them seems to be something material, you know. You're doing something, you're engaged in seemingly material activities. But you're doing this not because of anything else but love to the Lord. And this is the example which we see in the case of Nanda Maharaj. And his first intention was, immediately I have to make this a huge ceremony, a Jatakarma ceremony, for my child. Why? Because the birth has to be purified. And this is the first meaning of this verse, first intended meaning of this verse, is that whatever we use, and Prabhupada explains this meaning in the purport, that whatever we use in our life has to be purified, otherwise our consciousness, our heart will be polluted, contaminated. Everything which we use, which is within our possession, whatever we encounter with in this life, has to be, by specific procedure, purified. And Prabhupada explains that because people in India, in Vedic culture, know the art of purification, what is being purified by which means, they can live in this world without too much pollution. This world and this world we're constantly associating with something which is polluting to the heart. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this, karanam guna sangasya sadasat yoni sanmasu, janmasu. We're being born in this world in a bad and good species of life due to the association with gunas, karanam guna sangasya. And ultimately, the art of living is to know how to live without being contaminated, without being polluted by this material association, which is, you know, we cannot avoid material association. The material association will always be there. We always will, one way or another, associate with different gunas. And we know, you know, the the predominant guna in this world is tamaguna. Basically, this world is made of tamagun. So inevitably, when we live in this world and we associate with this world, with the objects of this world, we interact with different things, the contamination will take place. And unless you know the art of purification of everything which you are dealing with in this world, the contamination will be rooted more and more deeper in your heart. And this is what we see in the modern civilization. The modern civilization is hopeless because of this one simple reason which is being explained by Prabhupada in his purport. It's amazing, you know, in a very short purport, Prabhupada gives a very deep, profound meaning. Because people don't know this art, how to purify things with which they interact, ultimately the pollution becomes more and more strong. And we see everything is polluted. In this Kali Yuga, the pollution is all-pervading. It's almost on the level of God, you know. God is all-pervading, but in Kali Yuga, the only all-pervading thing which is there is pollution. Everything is contaminated. The air is contaminated. The water is contaminated. The food is contaminated. Sometimes people think, you know, especially these people who are, again, from this new age, if we take sattvic food, we will be, you know, there is no sattvic food in Kali Yuga. The food which we take is not sattvic. It's done with all these insecticides and pesticides and insecticides. And, you know, you have to kill so many living entities before you produce this food. So where is the question of being sattvic? There is no question of sattvic food in Kali Yuga. You know, no matter what you try, however you try, how much you try. So what we see in Kali Yuga is this total, complete contamination. Some people, they are environmentally minded people, they are trying to purify this, but and the problem is that people don't really know how to purify the things with which they interact. And before, their basic interaction is not clean. Because their basic interaction is not clean, the heart becomes polluted. And because the heart becomes polluted by greed, by lust, by envy, because of this, everything else is polluted. The only thing, you know, recently we went to a big institute in Delhi, which is dealing with this problem of habitat, of the environment, how to make the environment more friendly. You know, it's a huge institution, big building, you know, so many people are getting paid. But actually, you know, they're not going to solve this problem. There is no chance for solving this problem because of this simple reason. If the heart is polluted, everything else will automatically be polluted and pollution will be increasing incrementally, exponentially. You know, that's what we see. We see the, in Kali Yuga, we see the exponential growth of contamination. And there is no way out of it. The only way out was offered to us by our acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada. He could see the root of the problem. And he explains here, you know, how to avoid this contamination, because this verse is explaining this. He says, in the previous age, in the previous era, which is far gone, people knew this art of material interaction with this material world, how to do this without being, you know, caught in the vicious circle of contamination. In Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that the transcendentalist, he is not contaminated even while living in this world. Also, of course, because of his constant meditation on the Supreme Lord, but because he knows the subsidiary or secondary art of dealing with this world properly. And this verse explains this. Prabhupada specifically says that this verse, again, seemingly, superficially, is not talking about very high subject matter. But it's a very superficial and seeming understanding, and I will try to explain why a little later. But even this superficial, so-called superficial understanding is very important. And what is being said here, basically, Nanda Maharaj, because he knew this art of purifying, he knew the child was born. And the first thing, first duty which I have to do, I have to purify his birth by this Jatakarma ceremony, by this samskar. It is explained specifically here that your birth, your janma, the only way to purify your janma or to help the living entity to deal properly with the karma, with the residue of the karma which we all bring in this world, the only way of dealing properly with this is to perform samskaras. We're all coming to this world with polluted heart due to previous contamination which was there. There is no one who is completely pure. Of course, sometimes the pure devotee comes here, but that's an exception of the rule. The rule is simple. We all, how to say this, a little dirty. We come with some tendencies which are not very healthy for our spiritual development. You know, I may be a little bold of saying this, that every one of us has some little lust in our heart. And every one of us has some greed and some anger and so many other things. And Matsarya, the greatest pollution which is there, envy. Actually, according to the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the pollution in the heart is coming from this Matsarya, from this envy, which is there in the heart of everyone. And we come with these tendencies. And according to Vedic culture, the only way to purify these tendencies, or at least to help them keep under control, when these tendencies are purified by the samskaras, what takes place is that these tendencies lose the power to overwhelm us. In a normal situation, so to speak, when people are born with these tendencies, they cannot really control these tendencies. The tendencies become so strong, so much so that even Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you know, what can I do? I know that it's strong, but I cannot do anything about it. This calm, this passion is so strong that it just overwhelms me. So the samskaras, the meaning of the samskaras is to a certain extent, diminish this influence which is there in everyone's life. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj, being driven by this, by his love to the child, he started doing this ceremony. He wanted to purify his birth. Therefore, he started doing this. And the way to purify birth, what is Jata Karma? Jata Karma is not, again, not just some ritual, so to speak. The essence of Jata Karma is to give, to give out. You know, we're coming with these tendencies of lust and greed. And these two tendencies of lust and greed push us to take. So the only way to counteract these tendencies, to diminish these tendencies, to reduce them, and to, so to speak, to uproot the poisonous element of it. What is purification? Purification is the procedure by which the poisonous element of the thing is being uprooted, being removed from the thing. So, you know, these tendencies of calm and greed, of calm and lobha, the passion, lust and greed, is to take. So how to counteract this? You give. There is no other. It's a simple process. You know, if you want to get rid of greed, you just give something, and it will be very painful to your greed. Your greed will scream in the heart, you know, you must be stupid of doing this. But ultimately, the greed will become less and reduced. So, Ananda Maharaj is doing this, and this is the essence of Jata Karma. You know, in the West, it's very interesting how this thing is perverted in the West. In the West, we have birthday ceremonies. And in the birthday ceremonies, what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to get, right? You know, everyone is coming and giving you something, and you wait for this day for the whole year, you know. Finally, I will get some presents. But according to Vedic ceremony, what you're supposed to do in the birthday ceremony to get rid of these tendencies, to purify your heart, to purify your karma, you have to give. You have to invite everyone and to give and give and give and give and give. And it is explained very beautifully and very importantly here that this is the way to purify the birth. And there are so many other things which are mentioned here. Like, for example, the first thing which is said here, Kalena. By the time all the words here, the most of the words in this verse is in the instrumental case, Kalena, by time. What is being purified by time? It is explained that the land is being purified by time. The meaning is actually very simple. You know, if you construct something, if you construct a road, you know, initially it's very dirty. The construction is a big mess. You know, whatever you construct, it's a mess. But how it's being purified? Just by time. You know, if you make a road or if you make some building or if you make something, you know, by time it will become more or less normal. And it is said there that snan, you know, by bathing you will purify your body. And again, why? The reason is that purification is necessary to remove this contamination from the thing. You know, if we don't take snan every morning, you know, it will be smelly. The smell will be different. You know? Because again, if you don't do something, if you don't perform some certain activities, some act of purification, then the pollution will take place. And it is explained here that snan is necessary, and you know, sometimes even snan is not enough. If the dirt is there, you have to scrub your body. You know, sometimes people, especially I know this is a devotees, they think just, you know, little water, that's it. but it is said that you have to scrub. It's a third item of this verse, shochabhyam. If the pollution is, or contamination is more, you have to scrub. And this is how you get purified. But then samskara is, of course, that I already explained. And tapasa. Tapasa in India. By tapasa, by austerity, you purify your senses. And that's also profound knowledge, because the modern civilization don't know this. Most of the people don't know how to purify senses. If you constantly use the senses, and we constantly use the senses, there is only one way to purify the senses, is to withdraw the senses from the sense objects, and that means tapasya. You know, and the most important sense which have to be purified is the tongue. Because this is the most polluting sense which is there. We're getting pollution by taking this food, rajasic food and whatever, and we're getting polluted by speaking nonsense, and you know, everyone has this little tendency of doing this. So, and it is explained that the only way to purify the senses is tapasya, to withdraw. Therefore, Ekadashi is there. Periodically, you have to do tapasya, and this way the senses will be purified, and in this way, senses will lose the ability to pollute your heart. Otherwise, if you only do this, if you constantly eat, you become an American. Sorry, that's politically incorrect here. <There are some. laughs> But at least there are many people. Anyways, the point is not to say this, but in the modern civilization, people, they don't know this, you know, that periodically you have to perform austerities. And the basic austerity is to fast. The main austerity, the main element of tapasya is to fast. And that has to be an element of our life, more or less the constant feature of our life. That periodically we have to do this, otherwise senses will be polluted. And then it is said that danai, your wealth. Everyone is constantly dealing with the wealth. All the people in this world are constantly dealing with the wealth. And wealth, money, is the most dirty thing in this world. You know, we're constantly dealing with this money. And they're dirty. They're dirty on the physical level. And moreover, they're dirty on the subtle level. And because we're dealing with this, inevitably the heart will be polluted. And there is a way of purifying our wealth, whatever is coming to us, we have to give. A certain portion of it, and Prabhupada was of course very impractical by insisting that 50% of it should be given in donation. Nobody is doing this, but anyway, Prabhupada's duty is to say that what he's supposed to say. And he says that, you know, if you want to, again, remove the poisonous element from the wealth, you have to give donations. You have to give. It may not be 50%, whatever you can give, but the intention, the understanding has to be there, because unless you give, it will contaminate your heart, it will pollute your heart, it will pollute your consciousness. So that's, as Krishna says, that yagya dana tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam, even the most intelligent people in this world, they have to perform these three things, yagya, dana, and tapa. They have to give, they have to perform yagyas, they have to perform austerities. Even the wise people, sages, have to do this. What to speak about ordinary people like us? This is a must. This is not an option. Because otherwise the consequences will be very bad, and I'm running out of time. And santushtya. Santushtya means by satisfaction your mind is being purified. There is only way to purify the mind is just to say that, you know, you're okay. You have enough. You know, this is again the lost art of purifying the mind. People are trying to purify the mind by very artificial means, you know, especially again in this new age. It's a very big concern for them. But at the same time, they don't know this simple formula that there is a very simple way to purify the heart is to say that I have enough. Whatever I have is enough. I don't need more. People, they have this mantra nowadays. This is the Maha Mantra for the Kali Yuga. More, more, and more. There was the richest man in America. He was the richest man in the whole world. And one reporter came to him because he was, you know, if you're richest, you're famous automatically. Because dan means you're famous. Dan means your intelligence. Dan means if you have this wealth, it means you're beautiful. It means you're, you know, you may be the ugliest creature in the world, but if you have if you have wealth, you know, people will say, oh, you're so nice and so beautiful, so pretty. But anyway, so the reporter came to him, and the reporter asked him, and that was 2 or 3 days before his death. And the reporter asked him, what is the slogan of your life? And he said, I have only one slogan, more. You know, so this is the mantra. And this is what is contaminating the mind. And the mantra, the proper mantra, if you want to keep the mind clean, is very simple. I have enough. I don't need. You know, whatever Krishna sends to me, that's fine. You know, I'm happy with this. You know, when we were living during the Soviet regime, the communist regime in Russia, that was also the mantra of the government, because government couldn't provide with the goods, so they were constantly saying, that's enough, you know, you're happy as it is. And it worked. It really worked. People, they had very little, and of course, you know, some people who were listening Western radios, they were a little polluted in their minds. But the rest of the country was very peaceful, you know, that's enough, you know, we have little bread and little vodka, that's enough, we don't need more. You know? What do you need for being happy? Some little vodka and some little bread. But anyway, so the point is set here. It is set very clearly here that you can purify your mind by the satisfaction. And the last statement is the most important in this verse. And this last statement is actually the key for the second meaning of this verse. As I said in the beginning, that there are two intended meanings of this verse. First intended meaning of this verse is that Ananda Maharaj was completely in a hurry to perform this purificatory ceremony because he loved his child and he knew this is my duty as a father to do this samskara. Because samskara is the way to purify the heart, and this is what I am supposed to do. But the real meaning is always at the end. And at the end of this verse, it is said, and this is the secret meaning of this verse, which is, of course, quite obvious. It is said that Atma, you can purify Atma by Atma Vidya. The only way to purify the soul of the most subtle tendencies which are there in the soul, and the most subtle tendencies which are there in the soul is to lord it over, is to be separate from the Lord. And the only meaning, the only way, the only means to purify the soul is Atma Vidya, is the understanding of the constitutional position of the soul. And basically, the meaning here in this verse, why did I say that this is the important meaning of this verse, is that ultimately what Shukadeva Goswami wants to tell us is that because the Atma, the supreme soul of the universe, came or appeared in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and in this way, the Atma Vidya, the real Vidya or the real knowledge of the Atma, of the supreme soul of the universe appeared in his heart immediately. His heart was purified, and because of joy of this appearance of this video of the knowledge, when his soul was completely purified, of course, he was always purified, he performed this ceremony. The meaning of this verse, the second meaning of this verse, that he felt so happy, and because of the happiness of this Atma Vidya, in the highest possible extent, Atma Vidya, descended into his heart and into his understanding and to his mind in the form of a child. So because of this, he became completely joyous, and by being joyous, he performed this Jatakarma ceremony. And that's the most important understanding which is there, and this is the essence of Bhagavatam, basically. This simple statement at the very end of this verse, that Atma, Atma Vidyaya, that you can purify your heart, the consciousness, by Atma Vidya, is ultimately the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharma Kaitava Projeta, Dharma Projeta Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. The essential, Srila Vyasadeva explaining this verse, doing this book, doing Mangala Charanta, this book, he says that what is the essence of this book, the essential message of this book, the essential message of this book is that all the Kaitava dharmas, or the dharmas which do not properly, accurately, really describe the position of the soul, the nature of the soul, are kicked out from this book. All other dharmas, including the glorious dharma, which is, propagated in Indian Vedic culture, the material dharma, kama, artha, moksha, are kicked out from this book. Why? Because of a simple reason. Because all these other duties, which are there in the Vedic culture, and sometimes people take it as an insult when devotees say this, but it's an essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam. All other things, they do not properly, accurately describe the nature of the soul. Because dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, including glorious moksha, which is so prominent in Vedic culture, they all ultimately have some understanding behind them. All these goals of human life, they have this understanding behind them, which is kaitava, which is incorrect, which is improper, which is artificial. They all have this understanding that the soul is independent on God. But the reality, the truth is that the soul is always a dependent part of God. And therefore, the only real dharma, paramadharma, the highest dharma for the soul, for the part, is to serve the whole. If the soul is a part of the whole, then the only dharma, the only nature, and this is the nature of the soul. Prabhupada explains that the very word dharma means nature, the essential nature. And if the essential nature of the soul, of the atom of consciousness, is to be the part of the whole, the supreme consciousness, then the essential duty of the soul is to serve the whole. And therefore, Bhagavatam is about this. And this is the knowledge which can purify you. The only thing which can purify the soul is this understanding that we are never independent. We are always dependent. It's not a question of whether I like to surrender or not. Because, we're dependent on God. It's not a question of our choice. Sometimes people think, whether I should surrender or not. But it's not a question of choice. I'm already surrendered. I'm already a part of God. The only thing which I have to do is to recognize this fact. This fact is undeniable. But people, by the means of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, trying to deny this simple fact. Even moksha is nothing else but the declaration of that we are not recognizing this fact. We are more or less rejecting this fact that we are part of God. If we recognize this fact, if we accept this fact, the only thing which we have to do is to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what is going on here, because the Lord appeared in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And by seeing the Lord, who is Paramatma, Nanda Maharaj, he recognizes and confirms his constitutional position. And therefore, his Atma is completely purified. And this is, of course, a subject matter of the 14th chapter the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadev Goswami will explain that the real understanding of Atma is to understand of me, is to understand that I am a part of Paramatma, the highest soul. Because sometimes people have this, again, incomplete understanding of Atma, that Atma is just a particle of consciousness. But the complete understanding of Atma is that we are part of Paramatma. And here we see that Nanda Maharaj is receiving this gift of Atma Vidya, the real understanding of Atma, who I am. I am eternally dependent part of the Lord. And my only duty, my only dharma, my only thing is to love Him. So there is no option. We're a very fanatical, sect. It's a fact. But it's coming from Vedavyas, so there is some justification to this fanaticism. And he says, dharma kaitava projita, he says, everything else is lie. Everything else is black lie or white lie, it doesn't matter. It may be a little whitish lie, moksha, yes, right, very nice, very sattvic lie. But it's a lie. Ultimately, in the ultimate understanding of the things, it's a lie. And therefore, this very extremist and fanatical book, which is called Srimad Bhagavatam, is declaring from the outset that, yes, we are extremists, and people in Russia, they know what they're doing. They wanted to declare Bhagavad Gita, but the real extremist book is Srimad Bhagavatam. The author himself admits this. Dharma kaitava projita. I kick out all other dharmas. There is no other dharmas. There is no other duties in this life. There is only one duty, is to serve God. By your heart, by your body, by your mind, by your speech, by your money, by everything. There is nothing else to do in this world. And that's the second meaning of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'm really sorry. That's it. Hare Krishna. We have 2 more minutes for the questions, if anyone... Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. It is said that we can see the hand of Krishna in all the situations that come to us. So, how do you see the hand of Krishna in the recent episode of banning of...
Oh, I can give another class for this topic. But simply speaking, Krishna arranged this whole thing. I have not a trace of a doubt that it was all arranged by the supreme power of Krishna. And as everything what Krishna does, he achieves many goals by one stroke. And in this particular situation, he, of course, he reminded the devotees the importance of Prabhupada's books, because devotees were on the verge of practically being separated from Prabhupada's main book. You know, because ultimately you would not be allowed to distribute this book. Of course, you could read it, but and devotees could really, by this whole story, understand what it would mean, you know, if they didn't have Prabhupada's books in their life. Because sometimes we take it for granted. You know, I remember when it was the Soviet Union, the books were not available at that time. People were paying half of their salary to get Bhagavad Gita. Really, half of their salary, monthly salary, they would pay to get this Bhagavad Gita in the former Soviet Union. And now we take it for granted so cheaply, you know, all these books are everywhere. Let me read Osho or something else. Maybe he will say something which I still don't know. So this is one of the understanding of this. And of course, Prabhupada, you know, Sri Krishna, by arranging this whole situation, he glorified Prabhupada not only to the devotees, he glorified, this was the biggest advertisement campaign which we ever had in Russia and all over the world, you know. Everyone was speaking about Bhagavad Gita. You know, in Moscow, all the Bhagavad Gitas were finished within 2 days, you know. Devotees didn't know, and you know, the people, they're asking, where is this Bhagavad Gita? How we can get this Bhagavad Gita? People, you know, the millions of people read Bhagavad Gita because of this kind arrangement of the Lord done through some not very well-intended people. People had, you know, we even seriously considered to give a special kind of, special... how you say this when you give some to the person who started this special trophy, for the one who propagated Bhagavad Gita, you know, more than anyone else. No devotee could do this, you know. The one who started this, he glorified Bhagavad Gita and, you know, propagated the message of Bhagavad Gita more than anyone else. And, you know, and of course devotees became stronger because of this. It was a very learning experience for everyone. So many other reasons are behind this. I think there is another hidden meaning behind this. We are planning to start the construction of the big temple in Moscow, and that's a very essential project for the whole society. I'm completely convinced about this. This is not only for Russia, this is not only for the former Soviet Union, this is for the whole world. This temple in Moscow will play a very significant role in development or in establishing the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world as a important spiritual movement. And it's a big struggle from the beginning to end, and especially of course financial struggle, because it's a very expensive project and we don't have these resources at hand. So next year we're supposed to start, within a couple of months we will start the construction of this temple. And I think that one hidden reason why Krishna arranged this glorious campaign to glorify Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita is to bring public awareness of this future project. And so many people get emotionally connected with Russian ISKCON, you know, due to this. All over the world, in India, and I really hope that one of the reasons behind this is that to help us to also raise finances and get some resources to build this very important project in our humble service to Srila Prabhupada. So that's my understanding and vision of this whole thing. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.